thanks so much for joining us for episode 37. Can you believe it? Of Forever 39. I can't believe we're almost 40 episodes in. Want to chat with us? We've got a few ways you can do that. For those of you that have Twitter, follow us at Forever39NJ. You can also find us on Facebook via the New Jersey 101.5 page. And you can email us at Forever39@NJ1015.com. You can download past episodes of our podcast via the New Jersey 101.5 app, iTunes, or Google Play. In this episode, we're going to chat about our top customer service annoyances and our favorite and least favorite candies, chocolate candies, candy bars, candy deliciousness.
So excited.
And we're also going to chat about our OCD behaviors, which I know I have a few of. Megan, you too?
I do.
And joining us for the first two topics is New Jersey 101.5 news reporter Dino Flamia. Thanks so much, Dino, for joining us.
Sure. I think these topics are perfect for me.
Yes, they are, which is why we thought of you. Okay, well, for those listeners that know me personally, I think they would agree that I can be just a little bit OCD about things, but I certainly don't want to diminish the seriousness of what obsessive compulsive disorder is and how it can impact some people severely. So according to Psychology Today, OCD is defined as an anxiety disorder in which people have unwanted and repeated feelings, thoughts, images, and sensations, and engage in behavior or mental acts in response to these thoughts or obsessions. So OCD can range from mild to severe, and according to Psychology Today, it affects over 2 million people in the U.S. So I think it's fair to say that while I am OCD about certain things, it doesn't run my life like it probably does for other people. So I just wanted to make that distinction. Like, there are some people who are truly suffering with this disorder, and it truly does impact their life in a very negative way. And
I don't think
that's really none of us in this particular, but we do have, you know, things that we do.
Sure.
So for me, everything has to be just so. Like, the clock needs to be tilted this way, not that way. Things need to be lined up in an orderly fashion. Things are color-coded in my house. Even my jewelry is color-coded. Even my closet is color-coded. And then from there, it is designed by style. So, for example, I'll have, like, you know, the blue side. And it's, like, tank tops, T-shirts, long sleeve blouses, sweaters. And if things are out of place, it will drive me mad. Mm-hmm. And I have to fix it or I will not be able to rest. For those of my colleagues, mm-hmm, they know that I have a big, big obsession. Dino, you'll know what I'm about to say, with the calendar. There's a calendar in the newsroom. No one's allowed to touch it.
No.
I have told them, I don't want to see your handwriting on this calendar. And when it gets to the point where, like, there's too many sort of like mistakes that were made because somebody switched their vacation, and even though I write in pencil and I erase when someone makes a change, I don't like when it starts to look kind of like I erase too much. So I kid you not, and I hope management's not listening, I have the receptionist order me like 10 calendars per year, because I would say like every month or so, I have to redo the whole calendar because it just starts to get on my nerves. There's too many eraser marks. So, so Megan, what are you OCD about?
My house has to be clean at all times. I think any person that knows me and knows me even slightly knows my home, I try to keep it immaculate. It's important to me. And I had, you know, people bust my chops a lot for how obsessed I am with keeping my home clean. We do have two dogs. I never want it to smell like dog. We have a pug. He sheds year round. I never want dog hair on people. But a friend gave me a great quote years ago, and I think this is so true for how I live my life. My closet, like you, Annette, is color coordinated. It just keeps it easy and simple. I have all my sneakers together, all my fancy shoes together.
Absolutely.
Things like that. My cabinet's organized by like cereal, baking goods.
Absolutely.
All that stuff. Okay. But my friend gave me a quote, and I think this is so true. Just like you need the clock a certain way, all that stuff, I need external peace for internal peace. And it makes me feel in order. Even before I go to bed, I like to have everything just so. Mm-hmm. And that way I can put my head to the pillow and know I can sleep. I'm actually kind of thankful that I'm this way, but I don't deal with it the way some people do, where they have to flick the light 12 times before they walk out
the door. I have none of that, no.
Right. And that's where it's devastating.
Now, Dino actually has a form of OCD that they do talk a little bit about in the research that I was doing. He has OCD when it comes to germs. Mm-hmm. I know when Dino first started to work at New Jersey 101.5, one of the things that we would tease him about is how much hand sanitizer he would go through. And like, it was a big joke. We would sometimes buy it in bulk for him. I think, if I'm not mistaken, Dino, weren't you like a hand sanitation bottle or something like that? Or a hand sanitizer bottle one year for Halloween?
Oh, I was Purell man.
Oh my God. That is awesome.
Now, I hate going to the city and riding on subways and everything because I don't like touching the seats. I don't like touching the poles. I don't like touching anything. But that night, I felt so free because I was wearing gloves. And when you wear gloves, I'm a new person.
So how do you handle when somebody wants to shake your hand? Like, are you like Howie Mandel where you're like, nope, I won't do it? Or how do you deal with that?
I have to be respectful and kind. I would never just meet a stranger or see a family member who's trying to shake my hand and say, no, thank you. No, thank you. I'm not going to do that. Once people get comfortable with me, they understand that I'd rather do the hand pound, you know, the fist pound instead
yes.
of the handshake. My youngest sister has, she's had a boyfriend for a few months now, and it was always regular handshakes, and I've learned that over the past few weeks. He's shifted to the fist pump, so I'm wondering if my sister warned him or if he's learned that I'm doing it with everyone else, but I appreciate that.
I think that's the official sign of OCD, the fist, bumping another right. fist. Yeah.
So for those of you that don't know, Dino just had his first child, and her name is Emmy. And I have to wonder, if has the OCD about germs not gotten worse?
I'd say I'm handling it better than everyone in my life would expected, because they're shocked when they see me with her of what I guess I'm willing to do and what I'm willing to let her do. I don't know which way you're asking, but some people are like, are you freaked out by her germs? Do you let her kiss you? Do you let her lick you? Would you kiss her hands? Would you kiss her after she's made a huge mess? I'm fine with that. She does not bother me at all. It's like my germophobia disappears when it comes to her, when it comes to caring for her.
Well, she's got your DNA.
Making sure that she's germ-free right. before, you know, I don't want her crawling all over the floor and then picking up a puff or a piece of banana and putting it in her mouth. While that might be the most routine thing for every parent of all time, I need to wash her hands or sanitize her hands before she does that. And that sort of does take over. You know, that can get on people's nerves because, you know, it's just a normal routine. You pick your daughter or son up, you put them into their seat, and you let them eat. But no, there has to be a proper time to wash your hands or get sanitized.
I do have to say, I have Dino, I have a sister and she has two children. She's a nurse and she is like you with the hand sanitizer, so much so where it gets on everyone's nerves in my family. But what she'll do, and this is what I don't understand, and maybe you can explain it to me because she certainly cannot. So she has done it. Her kids are now 8 and 11. But she would sit the kids in the car seat. And even now, if you pick them up at school, like, I must have hand sanitizer in my purse and they'll ask for it. But what she has done since they were kids, and I don't get this, she used to strap them in their seat, do their hands, and then give them their bowl of Goldfish or Cheerios or whatever. Now they're eating the hand sanitizer because their hands still have it on there. And so how is that good for the kid? I'd rather them get a little bit of germs
right.
than, you know, rub your hands together 10 times, you know, or whatever. 10 seconds, I think Dr. Oz says that kills the germs. It's the rubbing that kills the germs.
Oh, I didn't know that. Oh,
right.
Dino, I hope you learned something new today.
So they say that's actually it's not the hand sanitizer. So I don't know if that's 100% true. That's what Dr. Oz taught me. But how about that, Dino, with the eating? Like, would you want her putting hand sanitizer in her little body?
Yeah, so I always hear from people who, when I use the hand sanitizer on even myself, because, you know, they always know to come to me. I'll pull it out at a bar or a baseball game. It's always me who has it. They're like, no, you use that too much, your immune system will be shot, and eventually you won't know how to fight off germs. And the same with your child. And that's another thing where I sort of am scared to look it up to find out the truth.
But you'll get some freedom if you look it up and see that it would be healthier. Maybe it would give you a permission to not have to be so vigilant.
Just go let her roll around in the dirt.
My mind won't let me go there. For example, yeah, Annette was talking about, you know, somebody shaking your hand. The second somebody shakes my hand, until I'm in a bathroom, not even a hand sanitizer, because that's just a temporary fix, until I'm in a bathroom washing my hands with soap for the two Happy Birthday songs, I can't get it off my brain. When am I going to wash my hands?
How old were you when this started? How long has this been going on in your world?
I can't give an exact time, but the only year that I can remember things starting was the freshman year of college. I was in a triple. I lived with two other people. One of them was a football player. I was not, and I just, you know, I couldn't handle touching what he touched or I guess the sense of a football player. And I remember those years sort of using Lysol wipes and pledging all the furniture, and I think that's where it began. I know it didn't affect me in high school because I always thought back. I know that, you know, when I went to lunch in high school, I didn't wash my hands before then, and man, I wish I was still like that because it really does take over my life. You know, I just got back from a 10-day vacation, and we eat at the same place for breakfast and lunch, and every day after reading the menu, after I make my order, I have to go to the bathroom because I just touched the menu, so I have to wash my hands, and everybody else at the table doesn't do it, and I wish I could be like that. I wish I could order off the menu and then just eat chicken fingers and not care.
What if you were to do it once? What do you think would happen? I'm just curious what you think your response would be.
My mind takes the germs from the menu, puts the germs onto my food, and then the germs into my mouth, and I become ill.
Wow.
And then that's even probably worse for him.
Very often. Actually, Annette, I think I did one sick day over the past 10 years. So.
Yeah, no, Dino really doesn't get sick very often. But then do you have a hard time going to a restaurant because you're eating off of plates and using silverware that other people have used? I mean, I understand it's washed, but yeah, Dino's like, I bring my own set of silverware.
I've said that to my wife. I said, I'm scared that I'm going to get to that spot where I'm going to want to bring, you know, my own plastic cutlery to restaurants. And she's like, well, you just cannot go there.
What is her attitude? Does it get on her nerves? Or is she accepting of it?
I'd say that I've rubbed off on her a little bit in terms of she's conscious of, I just touched this menu, I must go wash my hands. Or during before every meal, even dinner, when it's just the two of us and the baby in the house, I have to wash my hands, and she does that too.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, see, and now that's kind of like the behavior where it really is impacting you,
know? And I never considered it OCD or sure. Diagnosed myself as OCD, if you want to say that, that's fine.
You know what? I actually have here how they diagnose it.
Mm-hmm.
They say there really is no lab test. Obviously, how would there be a lab test for that? But the doctor bases his or her diagnosis on the assessment of the patient's symptoms, including how much time the person spends performing these ritualistic behaviors, like washing the hands or using hand sanitizer or flicking a light switch. But they said, really, it can't be prevented. But right. The earlier you try to work with yourself on it, the better you are in the long run.
Well, before we end this topic, I will leave you guys with this, because I always share this story that I think sort of like really exemplifies about how neurotic I can be with certain things. So, Dino, you were saying that your OCD, you can't recall it starting until college. I've had it for as long as I can remember. Like,
really?
I know I had it when I was in middle school. I don't know if I had it when I was in elementary school, but in middle school, you know how, like, especially the Gen X generation, which Dino is a millennial, but Megan and I, when we went to school, we had notebooks and we had Trapper Keepers, mm-hmm. and we had book covers. Remember, you'd go out and buy like the covers you'd put on the book?
Yeah, we'd actually use brown paper bags.
Us too, exactly. Mm-hmm. So mine had to be absolutely pristine, like no marks. That's that. And now, meanwhile, most people would doodle. I love John. I love Brian. You know how it is. Like, mm-hmm. you'd have flowers. I couldn't do that. And my friends knew this about me. So I kid you not. Let's say I was 80 pages in to a notebook of notes on history. If one of my friends doodled on my notebook, I would go home that night and I would rewrite the entire notebook over in a new notebook because I couldn't handle the doodling. And it was so like obsessive with me, like I couldn't even fathom coming into school the next day with the doodle on the notebook.
That could have been a real problem in your life. Like, I wonder what stopped you from going to the extreme.
I have no idea, but like I just remember, and it was definitely a problem. Like I could even be on the last page and the notebook would be put away somewhere, and you know, I'd have to start a new notebook, let's say. I would still rewrite it because it would bother me that it was like still it was being stored in my closet with the doodle on it. Is that not crazy?
It's it's interesting for sure.
Well, what are
better about my
exactly. Well, what are you OCD about? Let us know by emailing us at forever39@nj1015.com. So I don't know about you guys, but I worked in retail for, oh my goodness, I want to say my first retail job was probably when I was 15. And then I stayed in retail even when I got into radio until I was about 34. So I think it's safe to say I've had a lot of experience in retail. I worked at a coffee shop, and then I also worked at a supermarket. And so I tend to look at customer service in a different light because I was on that side of it.
Mm-hmm.
And there are certain things that I have to tell you, like, I cannot stand.
Which side are you saying?
On the customer service side, when people who are customer service don't fulfill certain needs. And I understand, like, sometimes the job can be a real drag. I get all that. And I have to say, like, there were times when I was working as a deli slicer, which is what I did for a long time, when customers were just absolutely downright nasty for no reason. Nobody deserves to be treated like that.
No.
And so I hate it when people abuse customer service workers because there's no reason for that. Like if you had a fight with your wife, there's no reason to take it out on the person.
And
who,
I feel like that's what they're doing.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I always go out of my way. I'm telling you to be nice.
I also feel like, you know, look, if I choose to shop in your store and spend my money in your store, like I do expect there to be a trade-off and I expect there to be a good customer service experience. So I was actually at Home Depot the other night and I was purchasing batteries. And I kid you not, I go to check out and the woman who's checking me out is on her phone, speakerphone, speaking to her mother. So I can not only hear her mom's side of the conversation, but I can also hear the clerk's side of the conversation. And she's doing this while checking me out. And I'm thinking,
she's allowed to be on her phone?
No, I'm pretty sure Home Depot's policy is not, yes, we allow our customer service employees to be on their phone while checking customers out. But she was so funny because she was like, you know, she's talking to her mom and she's like, well, mom, I really need you to do my laundry and then fold it. And then she's saying to me, I'm really not a brat, but like, I just don't have time. And I'm looking at her going, do you have any idea how inappropriate it is that you're like,
I just want batteries
to your mom while you're checking me out? So what are some of the things that annoy you about, you know, shopping in stores or even one of the biggest annoyances when you have to call customer service for any reason? I mean, there's just so many things with that that's annoying.
Well, I do have to say, we've been trying to plan a vacation. And of course, by we, I mean me. And so I've been calling and we're trying to book a trip to Disney. So when you call Disney, you have to go through this whole rigmarole. So even if you want to make adjustments on your reservation, you have to go, what's your phone number? What's your street at? What's your zip code? It's all this automated stuff before you eventually, God willing, can get to a person. And now if you get a person high enough in the rank, they'll actually give you a 7-digit extension to reach them. But in order to hit that, you have to still go through, what's your phone number? Mm-hmm. How many times have you visited the parks? It drives, my call could be so much shorter when I just want to check one thing.
Right.
And I can't do it online, of course. And so it turns into a whole thing. So, Dino, I know you said you had some experiences with customer service annoyances.
Yes. I don't know if this one touches your lives either, but this is, it's so specific, but it happens often, at least in my experience. It's workers who complain about their job right in front of me, like workers who let you know they don't want to be there, but without telling you directly. For example, if I'm at the checkout line at the grocery store, they'll be scanning my items and they'll yell over to the manager, hey Bob, when do I get my 15-minute break? Or they'll walk over to the next aisle. I was supposed to be out of here 10 minutes ago. It gets on my nerves because I worked at Wawa for 3 years in high school, and even as a high schooler, I knew not to do that. Do not let the customer in on how badly you want to be out of there or the fact that you do not want to be helping them right now.
Right. Isn't that a level of professionalism? I agree with you.
You would think.
Or like you're at a store and there are long lines and there are like two registers open. And then when you get, finally, you get to the checkout person, they're acting like they're doing you a favor by checking you out. And it's like, well, no, that's why you're here tonight. Like, you're here to help me out.
I always hate the person, too, that like hovers. Like, I don't mind if when I walk into a store, you ask me, is there anything I can help you with? I totally get that. That's part of your job. Some people really want that sort of service where they're not sure what they want. Like, I'm one of those that I like to graze. Mm-hmm. Like when I go shopping, especially if I'm not sure exactly what I want to buy, like let's say I'm looking for a new comforter set. Like I like to take my time, sort of assess what I'm looking
sure.
at. So I don't mind if you ask me though, you know, what can I help you with? But I hate it when they continue to ask you over and over again and they're like right on top of you. Like I need space when I shop. Like I don't need, I'll come find you, but you don't need to like hover over me in case I do want
something.
Well,
it's like that sweet spot. I feel like I don't want to ask me if I need anything. I say no, leave me alone. But then if they see you, like if someone different walks by, a different customer service person, and they see you're like at an empty register kind of looking around and they keep it moving, like they don't see you standing at an empty register hoping someone's going to help you.
Right.
And it's like, hi, I've been
sitting here. Can I get help here? Right.
Anybody, please? Anybody?
And now my other one when you, this is another one that I absolutely hate. I don't know about you guys, but there are certain businesses that you call where it is impossible to get a live human on the phone. And you'll be like, 00001000 representative. Like, I mean, you will just try any combination. And you, no matter what, they're like, choice number one, choice number two, but they will not give you
a
live
screaming
person.
Operator.
And you're like, so what's true. The code? What's the secret code? Because you know there's a secret code to get through.
Yes.
But you don't know what it is. So now you're Googling it, like, secret code to get through to a live person from Verizon. You know, and it's just, that drives me crazy when it's so hard. Like, you just want to speak to somebody that's not a computer. And it drives, like, I will go out of my mind.
But answer me this. When restaurants have specials, I've been led to believe when you're in the restaurant business, I mean, you're trying to unload something like extra lobster you have, whatever.
Oh, no, so I never think that way.
So, I think that's what the case is when they have specials,
okay.
I think. But then the price isn't there, but then they jack it up. And I'm thinking, if you're trying to get rid of the extra steak you have in the back, maybe you shouldn't make it $40 to get the plate if this is really stuff you're just trying to unload anyway. That gets on my nerves.
I've heard that's what they'd want to get rid of.
Yeah, that's, I've heard that. I don't know if it's true.
Dino with his OCD right now is like, I'm never ordering any sort of restaurant
special. Sorry, Dino, I'm sorry.
Ever again.
No. One other thing for the customer service thing that really gets to me, and actually this bothers me in all facets of life, phone calls and just in-person meetings with anyone I see, but in a retail environment, I feel like there should be more rules in place. I hate when I get to the checkout counter and the first words out of their mouth aren't a greeting. If it's not hello or how are you, if the first, you know, I go up to the front of the line, they say frequent shopper's card. Or I'll get to the front and they'll say any coupons or rain checks. I hate getting right into a conversation. When I call you on the phone, or no, when you call me on the phone and I say hello, ask me how I'm doing.
Dino always will pick up the phone, hello, my friend.
Aww,
it's such a nice that's greeting.
So
yeah.
Cute.
It really, really is. And I agree with you. Like, you do kind of want to start the conversation off with not just like, you know, oh, would you like to save 10% and sign up for this credit card? No, that's another one. I hate it when you say no and they keep going. If I said no once, I'm done. Like,
no,
please
and
don't.
Then they try to tell you the advantage of getting, you're like, I just said no. I always blame my husband, like, well, we don't want our credit score. And
yeah,
like,
no.
I'll give them the whole thing.
Well, we want to know what customer service behavior annoys you the most. Take our poll over at nj1015.com. Dino, thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks, Dino. So as most of you know, I try to pay attention to what I eat. At least I said it on the podcast. So if you listen to the show, you know I try to be good.
Yeah, I don't.
A few days a week. And one day a week, I'll kind of go crazy, let myself eat what I want.
God,
I probably should
you.
Give that up as well. But whatever. So I often find myself fantasizing about chocolate and
yes.
candy of any kind and cookies and cakes and pasta. And anyway, so Annette and I thought it would be really fun to do our favorite and least favorite candies. And Annette, being the research queen she is, actually found a top 10 list about chocolate candy. So yeah. Take it away, Annette.
Yeah. So what do you think the number one is? What do you
favorite?
Think the number one chocolate candy is in the United States?
M&M's.
Oh my gosh, you're right.
Yes. I know my candy.
You do. You do. Well, okay. So for those of you that are curious about the rest of the ranking.
I am, though. Go ahead.
So this is information that comes from Symphony IRI Group, which is a Chicago-based market research firm. So this is what they found. So number 10, Almond Joy.
Okay.
Okay. I'm That's not fine. A huge fan, but no, all right.
But I'll eat it if it's
number
there.
Number 9, Milky Way. I like Milky Way. Okay. I'll have to say.
My sister's favorite.
Is Hershey's Cookies and Cream.
They're okay. I thought I'd like that more than I do.
I've actually never had one.
Oh, I love white chocolate.
So. Number 7, Three Musketeers.
Okay. Frozen.
Not a fan.
Frozen, you might be.
Twix takes the 6th spot.
Okay.
Number 5 is one of my favorites, Kit Kat.
Oh, love a Kit Kat.
Yeah, love a Kit Kat.
I make homemade Kit Kats. Have I ever made them for you?
No. And what?
I promise you, I will bring them in.
Okay, yeah, you better.
I will.
4th is a Hershey's chocolate bar.
Okay.
Number 3, Snickers.
Yes, delish.
And number 2, the runner-up. Can you guess?
Give me a second.
Okay.
I would say it is, $100,000.
Reese's Peanut Butter Cups.
Oh, of course.
Yeah, definitely.
Of course.
I think that makes sense. A lot of people like those.
Yes.
And I like them frozen. Like,
yeah.
That's my
thing.
I've
never tried
them
frozen.
So what's your favorite? Can't live without.
I could not live without M&M's.
So that's why you said number 1.
Yeah, I love them. And you know, in my house, we always have candy out at my house. Always, always. We have a giant bowl of mixed candy, which has Reese's in it, has Snickers, has 100 grams, all that stuff. And I also have, this is so stupid, I have 2 dishes. We have like a butler's pantry area. And in that area, I have 2 bowls of M&Ms. One is a combination of almond and peanut M&Ms, and the other rotates between just being peanut butter M&Ms.
I love it.
And right now, currently, it's a combination of the little crispy ones and plain.
I have to live in her house.
Oh my God, we have candy everywhere. But I love it. And can I tell you, even the lady, I'm friends with the woman at our local CVS, and last night I stopped there just to buy candy for my dishes. And she's like, people eating all your candy. And I'm like, yes, we have a pool. People are in our house all the time. They empty out the candy. And I can hear my husband when he walks by and he grabs a handful of M&Ms. Aww. It's so loud. But I love them. I love them. I love them.
I think the candy jar thing is so reminiscent of like my grandmom who used to have the Werther's, the caramel. Oh, so yummy.
Yeah, my grandmother used to have a
yes.
dish.
Yes. Yeah. I don't have a dish because the problem is I would eat the entire dish.
I get that.
So I don't have the dish. But
some days it's harder to walk by the dish than others.
Yeah,
so
definitely.
I get that.
So for me, my favorite, hands down, is Hershey's almond chocolate bar. I love it.
They are good.
And again, I like it cold, so I like it frozen.
But not as good. I find I like the Hershey bar with almonds better than the Kiss with almonds.
Oh, I love the Kiss with
They're
almonds
good,
too.
But I think the Hershey bar is better.
I love the Hershey bar.
I don't know what
so
it
good.
Is though with the almond.
So what's your least favorite?
Oh, my least. I have a list for you.
Oh.
You know what I don't like? I can't stand marzipan.
Okay.
Or
yeah.
circus peanuts. Or candy corn.
Oh, I love candy corn.
Or original conversation hearts that come out at Valentine's Day.
Love them.
Oh, God. They're just so good. But I love double bubble bubble gum. I love Laffy Taffys. Goldberg's peanut chews.
I love Twizzlers.
Twizzlers.
Starburst.
Oh, my goodness. There's a chocolate shop not far from here that does chocolate-covered Twizzlers.
Oh, no.
To die for.
Okay, so next time you're bringing that and your homemade Kit Kats.
Oh, my gosh. I totally would. They're so good. But they're like my chocolate-covered gummy bears, which
I absolutely love gummy bears. But I can't eat a lot of them. They make me sick for some reason. I
the
get really sick to my stomach. No, just in general.
Okay.
I don't know what it is, but my tummy does not like gummy bears. So I can only eat like a handful. I'm done, but I love them.
Ooh, or Chewy Spree. Have you ever had Chewy
no,
Spree?
No, I've never had. No.
So good. Or a whatchamacallit. Remember
yeah,
whatchamacallits? They're good too.
I love the nostalgic candy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know? I don't really really honestly discriminate against candy for the most part. I like everything, but I cannot get behind a Three Musketeers. I just can't get behind it.
I like them frozen, but they're not my first choice.
Yeah. I mean, I like a Butterfinger, though. Oh, they're so good.
They're
and
my
again,
candy
frozen.
Dish. Yes. Oh, frozen for the Butterfinger. Because mm-hmm. I'll put Twix in the freezer, Snickers.
See, I don't think Twix works in the freezer.
Ooh, they do. I'm telling you,
no,
it's
I've
a
tried
delight.
It. I don't like
oh,
it.
Oh, I like it.
No.
Oh, I think it's really good. Or you know what's really good? At Valentine's Day, they usually have those cinnamon gummy hearts that come out. With like the sugar on
oh,
top.
Oh, yes. Those
They're
are
so,
so
good.
Good.
Oh, my goodness. It was so easy for me to come up with this list, that I'm telling you.
Wait,
or the caramels with the white cream in the center.
Very yummy. I love anything
God,
caramel.
So good.
well, what we'll do is we'll put a poll up and we'll do like the,
ooh,
we'll
I have
do
another
like
one.
The top five.
You know when you get like a high-end box of chocolate
oh,
and
yeah.
there's the caramel in there?
Yeah.
With the oh, my God. Delicious.
High-end chocolate's the best. It's just expensive. And so like
good.
You're like, well, I'll get the junky chocolate.
I'll just keep cutting you off as you're trying to wrap it up.
So we'll put a poll up and what we'll do is I'll do the first top five most popular chocolate bars
okay.
or chocolate candies in the United States. And then we can see like what you guys, you know, what's your number one.
Okay.
So we'll put that up over at NJ115.com. So that wraps this episode of Forever 39. On next week's show, we're going to chat about managing your in-laws. That's all you, Megan. The alternate New Jersey bucket list for families.
So fun.
And how much time employees are wasting at work.
Mm.
Let's hope nobody from 115 listens to that.
You waste, are you kidding? You waste no time.
Thanks, guys, for joining us.
Bye, guys.